Welcome back to a brand new episode of Around the Geek with your host Terrell. I have special guests, DJ Sub on the show.
What's going on, brother?
How you been, man? Man, you don't know how hard it is trying to get you on here. I think it's been like a year. Actually, no, apparently it was easier than I thought. It was a message and, hey, yeah, I'm ready. Seemed like I was making it harder than it needed to be.
Hey, man. Pandemics mainly freeze up schedules. What can I say?
Right. I guess, like I said, what have you been doing since all this has started?
Mostly working from home. I recently moved into my new place and just trying to get that place like furnished and situated. But other than that, mostly chilling.
Right. Like I said, I think that's been everybody's pretty much situation with that. Have you, so pretty much, I don't know if you listened to Around the Geek before, but pretty much like, once we, every, like beginning of every episode, we pretty much go through, I'm not sure if you guys do it or not, like a watch and play thing, like pretty much like a summary of like, you know, what you've been playing, what you've been doing.
Yeah, we don't really do that too much on our show. Like I kind of wanted the guys to do that, but we mostly like what we usually do before we go live is we have like a full half hour warm up where we'll just be cracking jokes the whole time. And, you know, then once we're live on the air, boom, you know, we jump right in on the subject.
Right, yeah, I've definitely hopped on the show a few times. Like, I definitely have a lot of B track stuff that you know, it probably hit the light of day. Yep. like I said, what games you been playing? What have you been watching? Anything you would recommend?
Well, the last game I've actually played a couple of games. I still need. Well, I need to finish. I need to finish the ending. Well, not the ending. Sorry, I need to finish the last DLC for Monster Hunter Iceborne. Both, I have not fought a Latrian or Fatalis since they dropped, and it was all right before I had moved, so everything was all packed up, so I didn't get a chance to play it. Mostly been playing this game on my phone called Monster Strike. It was in America, but then I guess due to the lack of popularity in America, they killed the American servers, so now you can only play the game in Japan, or you know, you can just go on the internet and download the APK and you can play it.
So something tells me you got a couple thousand hours in that Monster Hunter.
Oh, I have I have 560 login days. I've been playing the game since its third year.
Has it been 3 years?
It's really no. They turned 7. Just this past month, they turned 7 years.
My God!
But I've been playing it for like since year 3.
Being a dedicated fan, what did you think about that that movie, that trailer?
Oh, for
Monster Hunter.
Oh, for Monster. Okay, yeah, going into Monster Hunter. All right. You know, I don't know if you watch Maximilian's video, but like a lot of his feelings about it pretty much echoed how I felt. Where okay. I'm glad that you, like, I'm glad, movie, you are taking this opportunity to say, hey, we're going to throw, you know, we're going to throw military in there because America, and they get zapped into the Monster Hunter world. Okay, stupid, but whatever, let's go with it. How did the monsters look? Monsters look awesome. They look amazing. They look like they literally pulled them out of the video game and dropped them in this movie, and they look good. Like, when I saw Diablos and heard how Diablos and I heard Diablos' roar, and it was like verbatim the same roar from the video game, I said, you know what? All right, movie, I'm gonna give you a chance. I'm giving you a chance. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Diablos is cool, but there's still a monster that we need to see. Like it's the main monster of all Monster Hunters and that's Rathalos. Like, to have a Monster Hunter movie without Rathalos is like having a Mario game without Mario, or a Mega Man game without Mega Man, or right. A Sonic game without Sonic. You know what I'm saying? And when they showed Rathalos, I said, damn it, I hate the fact that I might end up spending money to see this.
Yeah, if it ever comes out, if it's done, it's like.
I mean, from what I've seen, they got a release date. I think they got a release date for it, and I know they said they was gonna drop in theaters. I was like, what theaters are y'all trying to release this in? Now, if you're talking about drive-in theater, cool. I'll roll up in my car and I'll watch it. But unless I'm seeing some video on demand, or you know what, I am a critic. Drop that screener, man. Like, right. Let me get that screener and I'll review it or something.
Why do you think it's so much resilience to drop these major movies on video demand? Because I mean, you're not making money either way.
Well, I would say given the situation of not just America but the world in general, because of the pandemic, we have a lot of movie studios and Hollywood in general that really can't sit back and wait. At the beginning of this virus, a lot of people thought, at the very most, 6 months, we're going to ride this out for 6 months and see what happens.
Right.
Dude, we're about to come on a whole other year now. You know what I mean? It's about to be 2021 and stuff still ain't been straight. Like, right. we have not hit any level of progress at all. And of course, when a lot of states decided to reopen early, and some movie theaters decided to reopen, some still remain closed, but the ones that did remain open, because of what's happened, a lot of people aren't really trying to jump back into movie theaters, especially if there's no safety precautions put in place.
Right.
And some of them do. Some of them have like safety precautions, but in the end, it still isn't enough. Not to mention the price hike on movie tickets have gone up. And that also factors in a lot of stuff to where, the idea of getting the movie on demand or streaming it is just a more viable option. Because think about it. If you got a family, Like, if you got a family, 2-3 kids or whatever, dude, you're looking at paying an almost $100
right.
for everything. Like, tickets, especially if you're going to see the 3D IMAX or the 4DX experience, you're paying at least $30 per person.
Yeah, I just find it weird because, I was hoping that Mulan would have been the push to really get the rest, like some of the Disney movies out on demand, like especially Black Widow that everybody wanted to see.
Yeah, well, the movie that everybody was expecting, especially Hollywood, was Tenet.
Right, it came out.
Yeah, it did, but... Think about it. Did it really do the numbers that it should have did if COVID wasn't a thing?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
not at all.
I mean, what's really sad? That movie still didn't beat Sonic.
Right. Sonic came out February?
It did. It came out right before everything went down, which is why 2020 will be Sonic's year, where it'll be the only movie to be the highest grossing film of the year.
Right.
Mainly because it was the last one.
I mean, that movie was fun, though. It was good.
Oh, I love that movie. Come on, I'm a Sonic fan, and I love the movie. If anything, I think that was the one video game movie that they did get, for the most part, right.
Nah, that was perfect. It's like,
I'm saying for the most part. I mean, come on. Now, we played the video games before. Sonic never really belonged in the human world. And anytime they ever did that, it was kind of like, all right, this is like a one-time thing, and then we're not doing it again.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the next direction is as far as movies, because like obviously, video on demand should be the next logical step. $20-$30. Everybody's doing it from the safety at home. They're more so worried about the piracy, which is an inevitable thing either way.
Oh, so, yeah, it's gonna happen.
I'm not sure of the hesitation there.
With I think with what's like also with videos on demand, whether you get it through a streaming service or not, it's still a safer option, because the whole point really is to drive down the numbers of this virus or just find a way to get rid of it altogether.
Right.
And you can't do it if you're persisting in reopening movie theaters and trying to get people, you're trying to cram people back into a movie theater. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, look, like I said, I mean, James Bond was on top of my list. Black Widow, I was hoping that Eternals movie would have came out this year. Nothing just going as planned.
Everything, and that's the other thing. Whatever was scheduled to come out, they're either going to take a gamble and try to put it in theaters and hope that it somehow miraculously gives it the numbers that it wants, or they're going to take another possible hit and release it as a video on demand. And then you know what happens with that? The same thing happened with Mulan. People were like, no, there's no way I'm going to pay $30 to see Mulan.
But that they was did.
Yeah, and they did. It was a video on demand price, and people still paid. As much as they cried and complained about it, like, you might as well suck it up and deal with it.
Right. I mean, they tell you, like, Disney Plus at least tells you, hey, you can get this now, or you can wait until December the 4th when we're going to release it. And a lot of they're really counting on people's impatience to pay these $30 to see these movies.
Yep.
So,
and if there's anything that this pandemic has taught me is I'm very patient. I'm really not. I really do not care to rush and see movies. I mean, yeah, I want to see Black Widow, but I'm in no rush to go to a theater to see it.
No, not a theater specifically. You know what I mean? Like, because now, I mean, theaters are pushing to the point like they're having like private parties. You can rent out a theater for like $100 or something for 2 hours or whatever it is, which is not terrible. But at the same time, I'm not going to the movies to go see Beetlejuice or Jurassic Park. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I got that right here. Like, what am I going to do all that for? Netflix.
That's where Hollywood. I mean, not Hollywood. That's where a lot of those movie theaters messed up. I'm like, you can't try to bring people back into your spot by airing the highest paid movies throughout history. That just doesn't work. We've already got the 4K Blu-ray of it at home.
Yeah, that just didn't make any sense to me at all.
your best bet, honestly, this would be a good time for drive-in movie theaters to really, really make a push.
You think so?
I think so, because a lot of drive-in theaters, there was a drive-in theater experience for Tenet. And there was a pretty good turnout for that. I believe CJ, he went to see Tenet at the drive-in theater, and it was good.
I don't know. I don't know about just sitting in my car two and a half hours, man. I mean, even the car seats are not that unbearable. It's just, I don't know. It's the sound and everything for me. Tenet is like a movie. They designed this movie to be a theater experience. You know, even though you want to see it, you know, the surround sound. I'm pretty sure it's like mad car chases and stuff in this movie.
Right.
Like ridiculous scenes. So it's certain visual things, you know, that driving screen just, I feel like it's not going to hit. You know what I mean? For me.
I mean, I get that. And I get that too. But it's just, you know, it's a safer. Right. It's a safer way to enjoy the movie. Right. You still got a much larger screen than what you would have at home. So, you know, you got to take what you can get at this point.
I can understand that.
Me personally, I'd rather just look into building my own theater experience in my own house.
Exactly, and that's why I think the video on demand thing, it could be a double edged sword for the movie industry, because like once people get comfortable and they like, man, I could have been doing this the whole time. Like, we got this right here. I got to get you a nice sound bar and some speakers. You know what I mean? Nice TV. You get a nice 60-something-inch TV for $400-$500. You're good to go.
Shoot, hold out for them Black Friday sales and cop you a 75 for like 600 or something.
Right.
Man, that's a wrap.
Exactly what it is. But pretty much like today, I just kind of wanted to have you on, man, because I'm not sure if you guys even covered the subject or not. Pretty much the whole next wave of systems that's coming out, you know, are they going to be worth picking up at launch? From what I can see so far, a lot of the games are, you know, games that already exist on the other console they're carrying over. And just like the previous generation, we're not going to start to see the real next gen games until like the next year cycle of those consoles. So right. I guess my first question to you before we get into like the games that are coming and everything else, will you be getting either one of these systems at launch?
No and no. Number one, I just moved.
Okay.
So I'm holding on to as much money as I can right now. I'm not even trying to touch my savings.
Take no chances. Yeah.
I'm taking no chances. Number two, you know, when Microsoft came out and admitted, like right out the gate that we're not going to have nothing next gen. You know, no next gen games are going to be released at launch. We're just releasing the console. That's it. You know, you might see a brand new IP in 2021 or something. And I said, all right, Microsoft, you know, bold move, but hey, do what you got
to
do.
But the funny thing is, that's what they've been doing all along and just not saying anything to you.
That's very true. You know, we all know that hashtag, that famous hashtag, Xbox has no games.
Man, I don't know where they went wrong from 2013 to now. Like, they started off so strong with the conference, you know, when they announced that Dragonborn, whatever it was called, they had a good lineup of studios dropping stuff, and then everything just got canceled. Like, there's just no word.
I think, what was it? They had a nice IP on their hands with Scalebound, and look what happened.
Scalebound, what I think about.
Once Scalebound was canceled, I'm like, man, you know, Microsoft, you had an opportunity to have something brand new that you would not be relying on, you know, year after year after year, like Halo and Gears and Forza. And, right. You know,
and don't get me wrong, I love both those games, but I'm like, okay, it's only but so much you can keep doing to this. You know what I mean? It's not like Gears of War. Gears of War completely, like, reinvented itself. It's still kind of the same hack and slash thing, but with the RPG element to it that they added to it.
The very last time I enjoyed doing anything Gears or multiplayer related was Gears 3.
Oh yeah, whew. When they introduced horde mode in the second one, but the third one just chef's kiss. They just perfected it. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they first of all, how you unlock stuff in Gears 3? Level up.
Right.
Just level up. With each level that you unlock, you're unlocking something, and I'm like, this is what they should have kept, which is why I fear Gears was going to go down a real, real dark path once Microsoft purchased the IP. As soon as they bought it from Epic Games, I'm like, oh, it's a wrap. I really got a feeling Gears is going to suck at this point.
I mean, the last two were not that bad. I mean, the
campaign or whatever was fine, but that's really where my enjoyment goes. It's just playing the story.
Right, right. Yeah, pretty much once you're done with that, that's like, what, like 10 hours or less, if that?
Yeah.
Depending on how many times you die.
Or I go back and play it on insane difficulty because I like to torture myself.
with the Series X, Xbox's whole thing has been, you know, Game Pass. And I can't be mad at that. I mean, what?
I'm not mad at that either.
$10, $15 a month for Game Pass, you know, versus, you know, I guess PlayStation, you know, they're trying to hop on board now. With the PlayStation Now collection or whatever it is.
Yeah, the PlayStation Plus collection, which I felt like, hey, PlayStation, this would have been an awesome idea back in 2013.
Right. But, you know, when they announced the Project Gaikai, or which we now know as PlayStation Now, they was like, you know, this is either pay for it or not. Like, you know, and, you know, that's a majority of that is streaming. Now they have a lot of options for download, but, you know, like, you could download a ton of games, and I had tested it out the other day. It's definitely not bad. It's not terrible. I think it's worth the price. And I think about this all the time. Like, damn, where was this when I was a kid? You know, I had no money. You know,
I know, man.
You know, like a video game on demand service that, you know, caters to, you know, you have a selection. I don't have to spend $60 every time I want a game or borrow a game from a friend. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this. Same thing with anime, you know what I mean? Like, that, none of that existed, you know, when we were growing up. You know, there was no stream service. You know, we had to meet a dude in the back alley to get a Dragon Ball tape. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm kind of it's a double-edged sword for me when it comes to that subject, because I feel like this is how I honestly feel about it. Having these gaming, you know, these game services, stream services, all this stuff where everything is readily available. You got like a free pack of games and anime and, you know, stuff that you can get like for free just for paying for this service. That's great. But, you know, given us old school gamers, I look at it like this. Back in the day, you appreciated what you had. At least for me, you know, when it came to anime, I appreciated what I got. I appreciated, you know, whatever I was able to get my hands on. And that's why those, you know, the titles that we enjoyed back then have such a lasting impression on us.
Right.
Whereas now, when you have games as a service, it's like, okay, I can play this game. This game was all right. Move on to the next game. And you completely forget about it.
Right. Right. You know, I definitely get what you saying.
It doesn't have that. It doesn't have that same lasting impression. Like what was that game I played? Actually, no. Me and CJ, we did play this. Just to answer your other question, Streets of Rage 4. We enjoyed that.
Oh, that game is amazing. That's a lot of like backdoor secrets and stuff like that you could find. A lot of collectibles. A lot of unlocks. Like that game is really good. Like, and then they came back out with like a physical edition with like, I forgot what came with it, but that game is really good, man. It shows like you can bring back those classic type of games and give it, you know, like a little fresh coat of paint and it still be good today.
Yep.
But like you said, to your point, when we had like, now that we have these games as a service, we don't really enjoy the games. Like we don't dig into like every nook and cranny of the game and, you know, really, you know, try to do it. We just try to move on.
Yeah, which we like an assembly line.
Which I think, you know, what the trophy system and the achievement system try to do, they try to give you more to do with that game beyond, you know, just, oh, I beat the campaign, let me put it down or let me trade it in. Like, it's extra stuff I can do. And like I said, me is like, I'm not going to say I'm an extreme trophy hunter, but it is something that I, you know, I strive to do. Like when I, you know, for certain games, like Persona 5, I'm trying to get the platinum for now. Persona 5 Royal, I'm trying to get the platinum for, which is a completely easier thing to do than the first one, which was like, you know, almost 200 hours worth of time that you had to put into.
Right.
But yeah, man, the video games on demand, not only are you paying for this, but you can only play one game at a time. You know what I mean? Like to really play it. And by the time you really, like, because I don't know how often you play games, how long it takes you to finish a game, you know. Just to finish, man, it must have took me like a month to finish DMC5, and that game's not super long, but like just the way I play games, like, you know, I have all the systems, so for me to jump from one thing to the next, it's kind of hard to get back to what you were originally doing, especially with RPGs.
I still never finished DMC5.
What?
I never finished it. Like, man, look, shout outs to them Steam sales. That's all I can say. When games went on sale on Steam, I just jumped on them. Bought as much stuff as I can buy, and good God, I have a literal backlog, like a full back catalog of games that I need to play. Like, I never got past the bombing mission in Final Fantasy VII Remake.
What?
I never did, man.
You were one of the main ones talking about it on the show.
I did. I talked about it, but you know what? I called out a lot of stuff that I believe was going to happen with this game, much like how I called out the Sonic movie to CJ. And, you know, and a lot of the stuff that everybody came back to me and was like, dude, you were right. That game is going to be, like, this game is awesome. I'm like, see, I told you the game is awesome. I haven't even played it yet, but I can tell just from seeing what I've seen that the game was going to be awesome. Another good example of that, I was going back and forth with Sam about this, by the way. We were talking about Last of Us Part 2. And I told him straight up, I said, dude, I do not care at all for this game. I don't care about it. I really don't. I want Ghost of Tsushima. So give me Ghost. You know, I want that first. I said, please let this game drop first. When I found out that they were dropping Last of Us first and Ghost got delayed by like a month or two, oh, I was heated. I was like, come on. And then when all the controversy and the backlash for Last of Us 2 came out, I was like, yeah, y'all push back Ghost of Tsushima for this?
You know? I mean, if somebody that's, you know, played both the games, I probably would have rather have played Ghost of Tsushima first. Because that game, I'm not going to say it was a sleeper hit, but it was definitely better than what I expected.
I didn't let it be known that it was going to be better than Last of Us.
Right. It was, they showed almost literally nothing. Like, they showed a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but they really didn't show anything as that game was coming out. Same thing for The Last of Us. I don't have a problem with The Last of Us. Like, the gameplay is solid. The story is where a lot of people have the issue, you know, because, you know, certain characters dying that they were, you know, emotionally attached to, which is what that game was supposed to do, and they succeeded at.
Right.
But other than that, I didn't think it was a bad game. But then when you transition to Ghost of Tsushima, you're like, man, you just completely forget about it. Like, it's just like, man, Ghost of Tsushima was so good. Like, oh my God, the combat, the story, like, geez, like, so it's hard.
Yeah, I think, well, but you know, the answer like also to answer your question about the PS5 and Xbox, what I do plan to do, you know, after the hype and all that stuff dies down, you know, after all the buggy consoles get released, because look, man, this isn't the Genesis and the Super Nintendo era anymore. You know, we're not getting solid, built like tank consoles anymore. You know, there's always going to be some kind of issue, and I'm just going to wait for all that to die out. I'll probably get a PS5 or an Xbox. I'm definitely going to get both, but I'm more or less going to get them like probably in January.
That makes sense. The only reason I'm kind of like, man, I really want an Xbox, because I already own a Xbox One S, and pretty much just getting that is the upgraded version of the X, like a super upgraded version of the X. So, yeah,
see, for me, I own the One X and the PS4 Pro.
Same here. Yeah. So like, it makes so much sense to go ahead and just go ahead and get a Series X for me, just because everything that I own, you know, from 360 Xbox is going to be on the Series X. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm not really losing anything by trading in this current system or, you know, whatever I do with it to get the Series X. And then I get upgraded visuals, which is one thing that I really appreciate about the Xbox, or what Microsoft's doing, is not only are they giving you these games, but they're taking the time to upgrade the current games that you have, or previous, or at least some type of visual enhancement on it as you get it. Now, that's something that PlayStation said they're not interested in trying to do, or do, you know, in general, which I think is pretty cool. You know, first party stuff aside, you know, a lot of people have been, you know, talking about, you know, like the visual enhancement, stuff like that for that. My only thing that I have a problem with for Xbox, the new Xbox, is like they made no type of like enhancement to the controller. Like, oh, this is perfect, we're not going to change it.
I mean, can you? I don't know. I mean, I play with the Xbox controller, whether I'm playing it on the console or I'm using it to play on Steam. I use that controller more than the PlayStation controller.
All right, it just fits like a glove, man.
And I really don't see no reason. I think if anything, if they made the Elite controller, the Pro Elite controller,
that's what I was thinking. But that controller itself, like, still like $150.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous price.
Which they give you with the one of the Xbox. Yeah. I'm like, just give me that. Like,
yeah, and if they're gonna go with that, I'm like, hey, that's awesome. And, you know, if that means I can switch out the D-pad for a completely different type of pad, you know, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah,
so it's definitely worth the upgrade. And again, I have no problem with the upgrade, especially if they're going to, you know, give us visual and performance enhancements for our older games, because let's be real, a lot of older games needed it. And I'm looking primarily at PlayStation. I don't see how playing Uncharted at 30 FPS is even a viable option.
Right.
Or playing Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man at 30. It just doesn't work with me. And, you know, you can call me a spoiled, biased PC gamer, but that's what I am. I mean, hey, I put in the money for my system, I built it, and it runs all my games as smooth as butter.
Right, I mean, like, you know, the...
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, 60 FPS should be the minimum.
For every game.
For every game. I don't care what it is, it has to run at 60.
What's your? Did you have any gripe with the face swap announcement for Spider-Man?
You know, when I didn't really have so much a gripe. I guess because again, that's another game I bought it at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, when Sony had that. Remember when Sony had dropped that huge sale?
Yeah.
On everybody at the beginning of the pandemic, I bought a ton of games. Played about probably 1% of them, and I touched Spider-Man for just a second. I saw him, didn't have a problem with him. He reminded me a little bit of Andrew Garfield, but
right.
But then with this one, I said, "Oh, I see what y'all did, Sony. You basically gave us a fantasy of what would happen if Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland had a love child."
Right. Everybody kept saying like he looks directly like Tom Holland. I was like, I really don't see. He definitely looks like his own. Regardless of whatever change they made, he still looks like Peter Parker. You know what I mean? I think the problem is people have put so much time into that game, because it's like a 40-hour game that and if people play through it, you know, second and third time, you spend so much time looking at this guy's face. It's like, man, like, I got to get used to this, because they haven't made any visual changes other than to Miles and Peter. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of hard to like really pull yourself away from that. And kind of pissed me off too, because I found out that they're going to be releasing the Miles Morales on PS4 too. I'm like, well, what's the point? Like, about the PS4? Really,
well, it's the GTA 5 move. Remember when GTA 5 was released on PS3 and Xbox One? Xbox 360 at the end of its life cycle? Well, just to give people reason to purchase the new console, they said, hey, if you own this game on the old console, you can transfer them over to the new console. And they're doing it all over again with these new, like, same console. So if you got a PS4, guess what? You can play GTA 5 on PS5. I'm like, you know what? We are going into three console generations of playing GTA 5. Can we, you know, at this point, please let GTA 6, that has to be the biggest, like, you have to make this bigger than GTA 5.
I can't even imagine when they would have found the time to work on GTA 6, because they just put out Red Dead 2 not too long ago, and then they still have to do constant service and everything for the online service for both of these games. So, I mean, obviously they have separate departments for that.
I was going to say they have to be a separate department, or at least they split the team.
Yeah, it's not like I can't imagine them having the time to work on GTA 6. And then, you know, honestly, I don't see that game coming out to like a 2023. Mainly because I'm not even sure if they had the kits ready, you know, for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox One to develop that new game. Which, by the way, I still need to finish Red Dead 2.
That's another game. I got it for free on the Epic Game Store, and I think I got it for free also on Xbox. So again, I got games to play. That's why this winter I'm really not thinking about these next gen consoles.
Right.
I still got tons of games I need to play.
Yeah, and on top of that, I got a Switch that's like, yo, come on, what you doing? Right. when you go touch me. And the Switch got games coming out. They got that new Zelda. I'm not counting Pikmin because it's already out, but they got a couple games that's still coming out for that. And I'm pretty sure next year they're gonna, because it's been a lot of speculation, they're gonna drop that the 4K ready Switch upgrade that they have coming.
If they drop that Switch Pro, that's going to be something.
It's anytime you start hearing speculation, it's usually true. So with these new consoles as well, I had the pleasure of going through the debacle of trying to do a pre-order because, you know, I'm crazy. I did the online, the Best Buy, the Walmart, you know what I mean? Like when they did the announcement that day, you know, these things being sold out, you know, the websites crashing every 5 seconds, people's, you know, them taking money out of people's accounts and then saying, hey, we're going to refund it to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, were you able to pre-order either one?
I was able to get the PS5. I wasn't able to get the Xbox One.
Okay, because I can tell you right now, what's his name? The Black Hokage, TBH, he dropped a video saying, hey, if anybody out there, you know, that has had bad luck or whatever trying to get a PS5, now is probably about to be a good time because a lot of people are canceling their PS5 pre-orders, and it was all because of a simple dynamic theme that dropped. A little thing called the Black Lives Matter dynamic theme.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And all I can say for that was good on you, Sony, for dropping that, because not only have you thrown out the bait which made all the closet racist gamers come out, because that's what it did. Like anyone who was like, you know, I've been playing on PlayStation all my life and seeing this, no, keep your politics, keep your social issues out of my video games. I'm canceling my PS5 pre-order and getting an Xbox. I was laughing so hard at this. I said, yo, I'm about to pre-order a PS5 just off of that.
Wow. It's definitely nowhere near that serious. And it's an optional theme, my guy. It's not.
I mean, seriously, if you have not seen that video, look it up. It's a real thing.
Oh, I'm definitely about to look it up after this. Like, this is completely ridiculous. I'm shocked and surprised, like, because, I mean, like, you know, people, for every person that cancels their pre-order, it's somebody else that's looking to pick up that lost pre-order. So absolutely, it's no loss whatsoever. But I'm surprised that Xbox is getting the same. They selling out. You know what I mean? Like, people were psyched up to get the new Xbox.
I know. It blew my mind when I saw that Xbox was sold out even in Japan. I was like, Xbox sold out in Japan. That
right.
Those are two things that have never in the history of Xbox or Microsoft and their dealings with Japan. That those two things have never ever taken place. Every time an Xbox console dropped in that country, it always flopped.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy too, because like back in like 06, between 06 and 09, where Microsoft Xbox like really hit the push for like the RPGs. They put out Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon. Like they were trying to really push the RPG market over there. They had the exclusive Tales game that was on Xbox. I want to say Fisaria. They were really trying, man, and it just
It was a smart. It was definitely a smart move. Again, I'm just trying to see how are they pulling it off this time around, especially if they have no new IP to drop. Yeah. How did that console sell out that fast over there?
And I think because, I mean, like you think too, like Japan and China are mainly like PC players anyway. I think they're more PC than consoles.
Not necessarily. At least during my time over there, the mobile game, it blew up. That bubble was just blowing up so bad over
really?
There. Yeah. Everybody spends more because, you know, for one thing, if you notice, if you know anything about Japanese apartments or houses, they're very small. They're thin. I mean, the walls are very thin and, you know, you don't really have much space for like a full on gaming rig. I mean, some of them they do, because I had one when I was over there. I put together a PC gaming rig and I had my consoles and everything. But for the most part, a lot of people spend time out. Well, they spent time outside. And they just play games on their phone,
right?
Which is why mobile games blew up like crazy over there.
Well, I can, and then the free to play model, mobile game model, right. and
all those games gotcha, now. Those gotcha games. Which is why I got hooked on Monster Strike. It's a fun game, and it had a ton, and I mean a ton of collaborations.
How much money you put into Monster Strike, man?
All right. A lot less than my friend did. My friend probably put in hundreds of dollars. I might have put maybe up to 100. Probably at least less than 150.
Over a couple of years, or like
over a couple of years.
Okay, that's forgivable. Yeah, like
yeah, because you know I only bought orbs. You know, orbs is what you use to do the hatcher. You know, where you drop 10 gold eggs, and you hope that you get a +5 or a +6 monster.
Yeah, I just like I said. I mean, it's nothing wrong with putting money into like what you like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It was also because I genuinely like the game.
Right.
I do.
I have a problem with mobile games when it's to do something that you can just play through. Like, oh, let me just like unlock this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. If it's something that's like if it's like, oh, let me pay $10 to unlock the level or something like that. No, that's whack. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, see, they ain't like that at all.
Like Candy Crush model by heart. Like, who was doing that? Probably enough to justify them getting the Candy Crush too. But I can't get with it. You know, speaking of the lineup itself, you know, like I said, like the lineup is non-existent. I got a printout from GameStop for the lineup, and I'm like, okay, what is actually exclusive to this system that I cannot already buy on my PS4 and Xbox? You know what I mean? Xbox, you know, we already know just has nothing.
Yeah, so, and the answer to your question really is nothing.
Other than, but when I think about, because I was working at GameStop back in, you know, the launch of the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Xbox came out strong. They had about 6 exclusives on the shelf. They had Rise, they had Forza, they had Dead Rising, and some other games that I can't really place right now. PlayStation 4 didn't really have too much. They were like reliant on if you get this game, it's a $10 upgrade. You can buy a $10 upgrade visually, or it came with a code to get the upgrade of the PS3 game, or you could pop your PS3 game in there and pay $10 to get the upgrade for the game that you were playing. Assassin's Creed was one of those games. But like I said, Xbox came out strong. They at least had a lineup. Nobody has had a really good lineup for launch in a while since Switch. Switch, I feel like it came, it had a decent, a really decent lineup of exclusive games that you could not get anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say Switch probably had the most impressive launch lineup since the Dreamcast.
I don't even think I really remember the, see, I didn't get a Dreamcast until like 2 years before it died. So I don't remember, like, I didn't get it at launch.
No, I got it. I got mine launch. I had real high hopes for that console. That console came out swinging. It came out swinging so hard because all they did was they took every arcade game in existence,
right,
and as well as their in-house stuff with Sonic and all that, and they just dropped. I think they probably had the most launch games out of any launch console, because I think they dropped with like literally 30 games.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember Sonic Adventure, Blue Stinger, Crazy Taxi. Power Stone.
Soul Calibur.
Sword of Berserk.
Sword of Berserk. Yeah, I think Sword of Berserk was a launch title. I think it was. Or it might have been like just after the launch. Right. Either way, they dropped a lot of stuff. Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Oh yeah, jeez.
Hydro Thunder.
The 2Ks.
Both 2K games. The
Samsung back when you can get a video game for $20. That's non-existent now. ESPN, 2K.
They had a ton of games, a ton of launch games, and you know they were genuinely good. Crazy Taxi. I mean, come on.
Back you know before you know Phantasy Star Online was a thing. Xbox tried to revitalize. I haven't heard a thing about it since they announced that.
They waited too. For one thing, they waited way too late to release Phantasy Star 2, because Phantasy Star 2 had already been thriving and booming in Japan for so long, for like 7+ years, and then they finally decided to bring it out in English, and the game is trash.
Really?
Yes.
That sucks. That really sucks. I'm really surprised to hear that. But yeah,
unless you're a fan, but other than that,
I've never played it, so I honestly can't.
I was never interested either.
It just seemed like a lot of work. What was that one game on Dreamcast that you brought it up? It was an RPG, but you were like exploring like ruins, and you had like a dude that had like a backpack with like an arm
with the arm on it.
Yeah.
Oh God, what was that game?
I think that had a sequel as well.
It did. Oh Jesus! Why can I not think of that name? Not Grandia, because that was the other RPG. But I know which one you're talking about. It was a dungeon crawler.
Oh man, it's gonna kill me.
No, I'm actually gonna look it up right now.
And you know, you mentioned Dreamcast. They keep hinting at this Dreamcast Mini possibly happening.
They need to do
Sega.
It. Please.
And like you said, if they have 30, 40 launch titles and they were all first party. First party. That needs to come with two controllers, at least.
Their launch games were like first party as well as third party.
Right.
But still, they had a ton of games.
I remember them having like a Spawn game on Dreamcast.
It wasn't launch,
but I remember them having that. Like it was like a third person like shooter or whatever it was. I can't remember how to play it. But yeah, man, like that's a pretty good.
Oh God! What was the name of that game?
Evolution.
Yeah, that's what it was. Evolution. Thank you. I knew it was something. I think I had Evolution 2. Yeah, that's the one I had. I had Evolution 2.
I thought about it because I'm like, man, I never finished that game. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't like Dark Cloud because you know fuck Dark Cloud because I could never finish that game either.
Right.
It wasn't hard, but it was ridiculous because it was like a game that had that the system where like your weapons would break, you had a certain amount of energy, and like if you know you could only do but so much, and had to come back out and then start back over and do it again. I remember getting to like the end of that game, man, and could not finish it. So I mean, like I say, like I know you're not getting the PS5 and Xbox One at launch. I'm not sure if CJ is. Knowing him, he probably will. if he has the opportunity.
You know what? I don't remember asking him if he pre-ordered it or not. I don't think he pre-ordered it. I don't think any of us are in a rush to get the console right now. Matter of fact, I think when they had made that announcement about Spider-Man 4 being on PS4, he said he was going to stick with his PS4, you know, for a while and just get, you know, get the next console whenever.
Look, I look. I'm excited about the system myself because I don't have to come out of pocket for it. So I'm pretty, I'm pretty hyped about the PS5. So, but like I said, I mean, as far as Spider-Man, that was one of the main things that got me. And like, the more I look at the lineup, the more I'm looking at reasons not to buy a PlayStation 5. Like, the more I look at what's coming, I'm like, oh, cool. I get this new interface. Okay, I get to do this at third, and I can still pop my PS4 games in there, which is, you know, which is a plus.
And again, it's cool, but it's the argument that I've been talking about in all of our game discussions, like on our podcast, Pushing Buttons. On our Pushing Button podcast, like both CJ and I said the same thing. Oh, so they announced the consoles, or they showed it off. Cool. Where are the games? That's all we kept asking. Where are the games?
You can get that that 2K Kobe edition for $100.
I'm good.
I mean, because now the price of games are going up to $70.
Yeah, they're going to be $70. Again, I'm good. Matter of fact, when it comes to console gaming, I only do console exclusives. So, right. So in PlayStation's case, you know, all the games that are in house exclusive to PlayStation, your God of Wars, your Uncharted, and all the other stuff, that I'll pick up. You know, Ratchet and Clank, and you know, if we ever get another Jak and Daxter, you know, those type of games, I'm gonna get the games on that console because I know I can only play it on that console. However, for the Xbox, it's mainly my Gears of War machine and nothing else. But other than that, I play on PC. Anytime a game comes out, if it's multi-platform, I'm playing it on PC. Right. But you know, which is why I said, you know, I have no real rush to get, you know, to get either one of these consoles.
Right, I could definitely understand that, and I think that's where I don't know if the push is for these consoles right now or for existing gamers. Or they're trying to grab a new audience of gaming, because there's a lot of games that they're re-bringing back over that you could play. Mm-hmm. That, like I said, a lot of people have not got an opportunity to play. Like, it's surprisingly a lot of people that have not played Spider-Man. So those new people are gonna be like, well, you know, the face change doesn't make a difference to me because I've never seen this guy before. So it doesn't matter.
I personally just want to play. Like, I want to play Spider-Man. But if I play it, I want to make sure I play it, you know, and the game runs at 60. It has right. to run at 60 FPS.
That's what they're promising.
Because how is it that the licensed Spider-Man games from back in the day the one I had on the original Xbox. I had Spider-Man 2 on the original Xbox. Yeah, the movie Spider-Man 2 on Xbox, game ran at 60.
Dude, you got better memory than I do about that game.
I'm like, dude, this is 2004. Like, come on, how is it that this console can do it right, but you next gen consoles can't do it?
Right.
Help me out with that.
I mean, as a PC person, like, what do you think is holding them back from running it at that frame rate? Because I mean, you can pretty much customize all your settings. And I think with the Series X going forward, they're promising that you could do a lot more customization and, like, as far as the system goes.
So, they're making all these promises. They're making all these outrageous claims. And again, it still falls down to their hardware. What do you really have inside of that console? Because anytime you get this custom chip or anything custom, like custom design for that console, you are in a way limiting yourself because technology is always changing. You know, it's not like how it was back in the day where technology changed like every 5 or 6 years.
Right.
You know, technology is changing as fast as every 5 to 6 months. So I feel like with them trying to, you know, like use custom hardware for these particular consoles, you're going to limit yourself, and eventually you might come out strong, but you know, give it enough time, you're going to be looked at again as another low-end PC, like how you've been looked at as a low-end PC in the past.
Wow.
that's really what's holding them back is their own technology. You put out these consoles, but you have no way to improve the playability unless you somehow future-proof these consoles to where, number one, we don't need to go through a mid-console refresh where the first print of that console is pretty much obsolete and you got to get the new one, i.e. the Xbox 360S, you know, there was like three different versions of the 360.
Right.
PS3, you had the PS3, PS3 Slim, and the PS3 Super Slim. There was like three different PS3 Slims. And then here we are, PS4. PS4, PS4 Pro, PS4 Slim, Xbox, like Xbox One, Xbox One S, Xbox One X. It's, you know, it's these console refreshes that, you know, that I'm personally tired of.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that, man. Like, and I mean, I think that's another promise that's being made, is that they're trying to avoid doing that going forward in the future, because these systems are supposed to be customizable. Like, you're supposed to be able to do this, that, the third, especially with the Series X. Now I get it. I mean, it's completely optional. You don't have to do it, and they continue to support those other consoles. But it gets, like, you know, for, like you said, the PS4 Pro, where, like, you know, visually this was supposed to be the PS4 that really pushed 4K, and then the Xbox S and the, you know, the X going forward, those were supposed to be like the 4K machines. So, like, if you really wanted to see your game in 4K, those have been the systems that you got.
But even though they said that, there were still limitations, because I have an Xbox One X and I play Monster Hunter on it, and when you got to make a choice between being resolution priority, right, or performance priority, I'm like, most powerful gaming console in the world, I don't know about that. You're giving me choices,
right,
and these you know, my PC can give me both. How come you can't do that, most powerful console? What's going on? Talk to me.
Yeah, it says a lot, man. Nobody wants to keep, like, you have to buy the same version of the console you have every 2 or 3 years,
yeah,
just to get that power upgrade or that visual upgrade, and then you're paying the same price for it. Granted, yeah, you could trade it in, whatever, cut the costs. Let's keep doing it.
Guess what? I could do that same thing with my PC. You know what that's called? Taking the old graphics card out and, you know, selling it at Micro Center. And,
wait, Micro Center buys graphics cards?
Well, I wouldn't say they sell it, but let's say I bought a brand new graphics card from them and they just dropped the new card, right? And they're available for me to purchase.
Right.
I'm still, you know, because I have an account with them, I can be like, hey, I'm returning this graphics card. Nothing's wrong with it, but I want to get something else. They'll take it back and they'll just refund my money, or I'll say, you know what, I'm going to get something else and I just pay the difference.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
I did that with my, what was it? I had bought a 970. God, this was back in 2015. 2015, I had bought a GTX 970 graphics card. And this was back when they had not a scandal, but it was like there was that debacle of the false advertisement where they said it was a 4 GB card on the box. But when you plugged it up and used it, it was really a 3 GB card. And NVIDIA caught a lot of hell for that. So once I had found out about that, I said, okay, I'm going to take this back to the store. They looked at it, and everything was still in the original packaging, which is why I always loved buying secondhand stuff from Japan, because they take care of their stuff like it's their child. You know what I'm saying? They take very good care of it. So they gave me full credit back, and I just used it to buy a 980 Ti, and I only paid like $150 for it.
That's not bad.
So doing stuff like that works, in my opinion.
So the new card from NVIDIA was the RTX 30.
Yeah,
I was talking to my uncle about that the other day. He was like, pretty much selling the one he had for like $600, because this one is supposed to be like $900. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just, we were going back and forth with the whole conversation, of course, the PC, and, you know, but I'm like, man, you putting this money into your PC, you know what I mean? You have expectations of, you know, what you should be able to do, and, you know, you're always going to be two steps above the curve at all times. They make these consoles with the expectation of it lasting at least 4 or 5 years before it has to be, you know, like you said, the constant swap outs, you know what I mean? Like, so they constantly coming out, they're constantly coming out with something new. Like, it's hard to keep up with the source. Like, you know what I mean?
But this is going to be something new for them, though. For both Microsoft and Sony, this is definitely going to be something new. Like, you guys have really have got to make sure that you future-proof your consoles, because if you're cutting out all the gimmicks that you've been doing for the last few years, you know, the console refreshes every few years, the sticking to, okay, the console can do this, it can do that, it can do that, we should be good for like the next 10 years or so. You know, unless you're doing proper future proofing, you're just going to be repeating yourselves again and again. So I really, really hope that Series X and PS5 finally got it right.
I hope so. I don't even want to smell the PS5 Pro or anything for like the next 5 years. Like,
and the thing is, I have a really, really nagging suspicion that that's a possible future.
Only reason I feel like it's not is just like I said, because of how you can customize these systems. You know what I mean? Because now, even though you could put covers and stuff like on the PlayStation 4, the original, you can swap out the thing, put like a little plate on there, everything like that. You know, supposedly you're supposed to have more options with this. Like, I'm hoping, like, you know, this is not like the Nintendo 64 where you could throw the expansion memory joint in the middle, because they specifically developed that with the intention of having that in the future. Like, they knew for a fact when they developed that 64, like, look, we're going to come up with this. At some point, you could put it in there. You need this to play Donkey Kong 64 in whatever game going forward. Which is genius, you know, like, man, you just a memory expansion. But I'm hoping that, like you said, because who has $400 or $500 in the middle of this pandemic situation, and, you know, to keep doing this is no longer a thing you keep doing. People are losing jobs. They can't afford to keep reaching out to grab another $400 or $500, you know, from these people, especially with the price of games going up and everything else. And that's why I think the video game on demand thing is starting to look a little bit more sexier. Because that's less money that you have to cover. You don't have to keep going to the store or the digital store to spend $70 every time. Now, granted, you don't own the game, which is my biggest issue. You don't officially have that game. The moment you stop paying for this service, they like, sure, you guess you ain't playing it. You ain't paying it.
Well, that's always been the case with Sony. Microsoft is different. Like, if you have, especially if you got Gold, well, now Game Pass.
Right.
The moment you touch that game, whether you hit download or you add to your playlist to download it later, the moment you touch that game, it's yours.
Right.
Period. You know, I've always wished that Sony would have had that same practice, but they never did.
Unless you
specifically paid money for that game digitally, you don't own that game once your service is
right.
done.
And then they still have the right to snatch that joint off the service anytime they want. Supposedly, you still keep it, you own it because you pay for it. But they've done done that in the past with the PlayStation 3, where they've taken games from me from my library, and I'm like, where the fuck is this game? I bought the Simpsons Arcade. I bought Turtles in Time. Oh, this whole thing with Konami. That's not my problem. They didn't give me my money.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny because I still managed to download mine.
Which what game?
Both Simpsons and the Ninja Turtles.
I'm gonna have to look again because they
and
just
and X-Men
and what was it? Scott Pilgrim. They just recently said it's come back out missing. I'm like, where is this? Like,
no, you know what it is? If you bought it, I know if you bought it, you have to go back into your download list and download it again.
Right, I bought it, and it's missing. Like, and I remember,
I don't think I can be missing because I literally put in a brand new hard drive. I put in an SSD in my PS3 just so I can play all my downloadable games. And when I did that, I had to go way back to like 2008 when I picked up my PS3 and download everything because I downloaded Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection. That's still there. That game is still there for you to purchase and download. They never dropped the price on it either. That game is still going for like $30.
What was another game? It wasn't removed from your library, but it was something where they removed it and they just credited you the money back. Like, they didn't want nobody to play. It was a few games during that era. And I
can't think of any. I can't think of any game that did that specifically. The only game I can think of that did something that crazy, and pretty much just said, you know, fuck your feelings, was Konami with that with PT, but that Silent Hills demo.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was
PS4.
They never did anything with that, did they?
No, they didn't. I mean, once Kojima was gone, that game is pretty much dead in the water.
Yeah, I really wish they would have just finished that goddamn Metal Gear Solid 5 the way it was intended.
Hey, I'm with you. As a Metal Gear, as a Metal Gear fan, as you can clearly see from my shirt, you know, as a fan of that, I was highly disappointed that Konami had the nerve to sell that game full price. You're selling us like an incomplete game for $60. What is going on here?
Right. I'm so used to those games, like, telling the story through cutscenes and everything like that. I was expecting more of a movie, the way it was being gassed up. And, you know what I mean? Like, it felt... some people liked it. I just couldn't get with it. I could not get with it at all.
My very first problem was right... I think, what was it? Was the trailer. At the beginning of the trailer, it said, Metal Gear goes open world.
Right.
That was my first problem. I said, no. You're supposed to be telling a story. You're making this game open world. I'm already got a bad feeling about this. And then when all the issues with Konami itself was coming out, I said, please don't let it affect Metal Gear. Please don't let it affect Metal Gear. Metal Gear got affected. Kojima was gone before the game was even finished. Which is why they released it in the condition that it's released in. And now Konami's got nerve to say that they're releasing Metal Gear, like the first time they're releasing a Metal Gear Solid game without Kojima. I'm like, how the hell are y'all going to do that?
Didn't they already do that and it was complete garbage?
They did.
Like the zombie Metal Gear? I was not going to support that.
But they said that this one, and you know, and you know, going back to what you said about the zombie one, I remember Kojima said, you know, I put a lot of crazy things, as far as even the supernatural, in Metal Gear. Explain to me how zombies work in Metal Gear. Help me out with that. But no, there's been some talk that Metal Gear Solid 6 is in the works.
How?
I have no idea how. Konami's just been talking about putting out a Metal Gear Solid game. And I said, at this point, if you were to make Metal Gear Solid 6 and have it take place after Part 5, then Metal Gear Solid 6 more than likely would probably be a remake. If they're smart, use the Fox engine and retell the original Metal Gear.
The Nintendo ones? Boss?
The MSX computer one.
Look. Give me Metal Gear Solid 1 through 4. Give me that Twin Snakes version remastered or whatever.
Yeah, like, you know what? We never got Twin Snakes released on anything outside of GameCube. I am so happy I still got my original.
I still had it.
I never got rid of it. I said, no, I'm not getting rid of this because something tells me that this game, something told me back then that that game was only going to be on GameCube. Like, it's one of the few games that you see with that only for GameCube sticker on the cover. It stuck to that.
Wonder why they just never reach back to grab that and just do like a remaster and just get my man Kojima his residuals and keep it moving. You know what I mean? Like, because he has to still get some type of cutback because that's his IP, right? Like, that's
not no. See, Metal Gear is his game, but Konami owns it, so he really doesn't get anything.
That sucks. That's probably why he wanted to start his own like thing and release these weird ass games now. like Kojima with no leash, yo, we get the product. You know what I mean? Like,
Kojima with no leash is how you got Metal Gear Solid 4.
4 wasn't that bad. Like, it was long
ago. No, it's how you got Metal Gear Solid 4. There was a lot of questions.
Death Stranding, you know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, but I'm talking about before Death Stranding, Kojima without a That's how we got Kojima without a leash was Metal Gear 4. Because, number one, he had an amazing writer for Metal Gear Solid 1 through 3.
Right.
When that writer suddenly up and went missing by the time 4 came out, that's why 4 feels kind of like, all right, God, Kojima, I get it. I get what you're trying to do. I get what you're trying to say. Like, there's so many times where I said, dude, cut? Can we say cut? No. I mean, how many times do we got to hear the backstory of the Patriots and Big Boss and Shadow Moses and all that?
How many times you just put your controller down and just watch the movie? You might have had like an hour of gameplay and was like, I guess I'm putting this down for another 2 hours.
because four felt more like a movie than an actual game.
Right, that game had to self-install in between scenes. Like, it wasn't until later that they patched it to like just install the whole freaking game because the game was so freaking huge. Like, so you just transition. I mean, like, I like the cutscenes where he's smoking a cigarette, but I'm like, man, this game is long as hell.
Yeah. here's the sad part for you. The cutscenes of Snake smoking a cigarette during the installs was the only time that game ran at 60 FPS. Wow. I mean, I'm dead serious. That was the only time. I was so mad about that. I'm like, God, why can't the rest of the game run this smooth?
It's kind of one of those games like I wish I didn't have to fire up my PlayStation. I mean, I could do PlayStation now, but it's just something about the stream. Like, my connection is wonderful, but it's not lag-proof. You know what I mean? That streaming service is not lag-proof. I don't care how good your connection is. Don't forget, you're still running this on somebody's servers. You know what I mean? Just let me download the game. Like, I don't understand what the issue is. Let me download the game. Like, at least from PS3 on up, like, there's no need for me to have to, like, stream this. Like, Is it easier to stream than to have somebody just download it to the console and let the console do the work? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I guess one way to look at it is, would Sony be willing to put up the server space to, well, I guess the online storage space to house all of these old games?
Hit my man Microsoft up and use some of them servers. Like, they were looking to partner up with Nintendo at one point for the server stuff like that. If they even still have the plan to have Game Pass on other systems or on other whatevers, like, you know what I mean, like on other things, TVs, stuff like that. Because I remember they were talking about having like a deal with Nintendo to put Game Pass on that. I'm like, okay, how does this work?
I mean, I don't even know. I really don't know what the deal is now. Like, especially at this point in the game, when these consoles outside of Nintendo, you know, when they release, you're pretty much getting the same thing. Like, outside of exclusive Sony games and the few exclusive Microsoft games, it's the same console. It's the same thing. All the other third-party games that come out on both consoles. So
same thing, different face, right?
Yeah, they're nothing like how they were during their first generation eras. Like we're never going to get that. The PS2 versus the original Xbox. We're never going to get that feeling again.
What do you mean by that?
So, like, for example, you remember when the PS2 first came out? Launch titles for the PS2 was hurting bad. Like,
Twisted Metal Black, The Bouncer.
Yeah, The Bouncer, Tekken Tag.
I want to say Zone of the Enders. No, Zone of the Enders was later on.
Way later. But no, Their launch titles was pretty sad. And even Xbox, the original Xbox's launch titles wasn't that great either. I mean, they had Dead or Alive 3. I remember that. That's about all I remember. But no, I mean, we're never going to get that feeling again where you had exclusive games that came out, like games that were primarily made for the PS2 and never got a release on the original Xbox, and vice versa. Xbox had games that came out that never saw the light of day on PS2.
Right.
Like, that true level of exclusivity, we're never getting that back when it comes to third party. Third party is always going to make games for both consoles and keep it moving.
Those were the days of piracy heaven. For both of those consoles. For once they cracked the codes, oh my goodness. I had a modded PS2 and an Xbox. Like, Xbox was the best. Like, I just go to like rent games, put that joint in my seat, and just download it to the system.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
I still got both of my modded Xboxes.
I wish I still had mine, man. I think Xbox had like was the best. You could do everything with that original Xbox.
You could.
Everything. Like, you could put Super Nintendo, emulate. Oh my goodness. That system was
They carried that same modding capabilities over to the 360.
They did until Xbox decided to be real cracked down hammer on it. Like,
not now. Now you can still do it.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
Yeah. The biggest threat was they were banning people's accounts, like Xbox Live accounts.
As long as you keep it off the network, you know, you're fine.
Because you had to, like, the thing where you had to keep masking, you had to keep putting your joint in, like, keep making sure you, like, updated or whatever so that they wouldn't catch you. Because they kept, like, updating it every, like, so often because of that. And if they caught you with that old update, you get banned. So
the funny thing is, like, once Microsoft dropped official support for the 360, it was a modder's heaven at that point.
Right.
That's usually how it works. You just wait for them to drop supporting the console, and then boom. I mean, look at all the handhelds. Look what happened to the PS Vita and PSPs. The moment Sony stopped updating them, people went to town on those things.
As they should. Like, PSP was another one, where we put everything in the world on that thing. Anything you could think of, like. But like I said, I'm really hoping to prevent. Because there hasn't been a lot of piracy for the 4 and the 1. It's possible, but I don't think it's. A lot of people feel like putting the time in these days to do it.
On top of that, the games are huge.
Right. Right.
So, it's
not like you were putting, like, those games back in the day were on freaking DVDs, which, you know, DVDs cost like 10 cents a DVD at the point. You know, Blu-ray DVDs are still freaking expensive. And now they're 4K DVDs, 4K Blu-ray DVDs. So, I don't know.
When you got both Grand Theft Auto, Modern Warfare, Final Fantasy, Red Dead, and Gears of War 5 being over 100 gigs in file size... What's really the point of pirate?
Right. It's your whole hard drive at that point, man. You for like 5 or 6 games. And Call of Duty itself now was like a terabyte.
Exactly. So, like, what's even the point of trying to pirate it at this point? Just don't. Don't do it.
Right. Yeah, man, pretty much, I'm feeling so lukewarm about the new consoles. Like, I'm excited about it because I can't wait to see what, you know, these developers can do with, you know, a little less restriction. And like you said, hitting these games at the 60 FPS, you know, getting them to play as they should, you know, move as fluently as they should. The load screens being cut in half from the solid states being put into these systems. I guess these hybrid solid states they're using to cut costs.
Well, they're supposed to be some kind of exclusive solid state, not even the hybrid ones, because the hybrid ones, those have been out for years,
right?
And that's what people were preferring to put in their PS4s. They won't necessarily, like, some will buy an SSD, you know, they'll spend the extra money and get a 1 terabyte SSD. Me personally, I just spent half that and get a 2 terabyte SSHD. So you're getting that right in the middle, where it's not as fast as a typical SSD, but it's nowhere near as slow as a regular hard drive. So.
Right, so they're trying to make all those hard drives proprietary, like you said. And I've seen the prices for, like, Xbox's one and, like, PlayStation, they were completely ridiculous. So you definitely want to wait a couple years to start buying drives. I hate when they do that, but that's just what it is.
when Sony said that, we have a list of, like, compatible hard drives, I was like, oh, no. Like, here we go. Like, now we gotta be specific on what type of hard drives we throw in here. Like, we just can't run out the Micro Center, buy an SSD and just throw it in there and call it a day. Now we gotta get specific. All right.
It's kinda like how when the handhelds had, like, the proprietary, like, memory cards that you couldn't.
I hated that so much from Sony. Like, first of all, they came out with I think the PSP had the Pro Duo or whatever, little memory card,
right?
Which that format didn't go anywhere. And then they came out with the even tinier M2 memory cards for the Vita. And then I think they had a whole other type of memory card for the PSP Go. Remember that thing?
Oh yeah, it was like the mini version of the PSP.
It was a mini. Yeah, it was like a smaller version of. It was like an in between of a PSP.
That was download only, right?
Yeah, it was download only, but you had to buy, like, memory cards for it, and it was still stupid.
Yeah, ugh, Jeez, got through that.
that thing slide, like the controllers were like hidden under the console. You had to slide it out like the old Sidekicks from T-Mobile.
Oh yeah, it was horrible. I had maybe one person I knew that had that just to have it, and it was not worth it at all.
That was a terrible idea.
So, the general consensus for this particular show is you are not getting the 5 or the 1. I can't even remember which Xbox it is anymore.
The PS5 or the Series X. I'm not getting it.
They need to go back to the drawing board on that. Maybe it's not too late to change it. Which is the reason why everybody was buying the wrong Xboxes on Amazon. And like their sales went up like 700%. Or what? I'm like, oh, what do you think we did wrong? You just tricked. I wonder how they handled that. Like, did they just let people just transfer it over to a pre-order for the Series X? Or did Amazon just refund the money?
I think they probably refunded them because you saw how fast those pre-orders went.
Right. So we're not gonna get that. But like I said, I will get back to everybody on letting them know if these consoles are worth it. I can't even say you're gonna be able to do a review, because I don't know. It's like you would have to side by side do a comparison to, you know, a modern day PC versus a Series X to really.
I mean, right now there's all the tech YouTubers. They all, you know, like clockwork. They all got their hands on the console like either this week or 3 weeks ago.
Right.
They're already playing the console.
Which apparently they have to give back.
They either got to give it back, or either way, whether it's a prototype or whatever. The point is that they got it and they're able to mess around with the functionality of the console, which is cool. You know, again, I get the gimmicks of these consoles. It's cool. I just don't care. Yeah. You know?
My biggest pushback so far for the 5 is that it only comes in white. Even though you can take the plates off.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, can I not? Can I get a black or a white at launch? Like, I think the GameCube is the only system that I know that lets you choose the freaking color at launch for your console.
Yep. That was also my problem with this console, especially with the PS5. Did you see the PS5? That thing is huge.
Yeah.
Thing is a monster. It's like, I looked at it and I said, Sony, did you have a bet with Microsoft and lost? Somebody had to create the monster console. You know, last generation it was Microsoft. They created that VCR called the Xbox One. And of course, they went back, scaled things down, and, you know, they gave us the One S and the One X, a proper console size. Now, the PS4, I mean, now the PS5 is bigger than the PS4 Pro, which was already bigger than the Xbox One X.
Right. So I'm curious to see how they handle that side, because they're going to come out with, even though they might not come out with pros, if they don't, they're definitely going to come out with slimmer versions of those consoles.
Oh, I guarantee you.
If the tech gets cheaper.
Yeah. You know, once the technology is available, because they already talked about 8K upscaling and 8K gaming ready, I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. This is going to have the capabilities of running games in 8K once 8K becomes, you know, the norm. And when you're ready, you're going to drop a console that's going to be smaller than the launch edition PS5, and you're going to make people run with that.
It blows me because I just bought a brand new 4K TV, and you over here talking about 8K.
Hey, look, man, 8K TVs, they were around like at least for the last 5 years, and you know, of course, the price for them back then was like $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, but when they do officially launch like 8K in mass production, I can see them going at minimum maybe $2,000 or $3,000, and then when they become more widespread, like how 4K is, you'll be able to pick up an 8K television for you'll be picking up 8K televisions for like $600-$700, wow, and even cheaper. But then give it a year, like a year or two later, 16K is going to be a thing.
Can't keep up with this anymore. people pockets not what they used to, man. People ain't got the same jobs, you know. Hey, I don't have an OnlyFans. I can't be buying $2,000 TV.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you the direction that tech is going in. I'm telling you, we're gonna get 16K TVs.
Jesus Christ. Look, the gaming, the developers have to keep up with this too, which they can't, because the higher the resolution gets, the less you're gonna get that frame rate that you're looking for. Less steady of that frame rate you're gonna look for is, like, because I mean they barely have games out in 4K. It's still pushing like 1080p. Yep. Like, which, you know, they promised, like I said, like it's still not there. I still don't see it. Like, you're not pushing my TV's capabilities right now. Like, I don't see it.
Like, yeah, because the most you're getting with, you know, when you have a 4K TV and you have your Xbox One X and your PS4 Pro, you're more likely to get games that can natively run. Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kingdom Hearts 3 on Xbox runs natively at 4K. That one does run natively.
Right.
But on PS4, I think it runs at 2K, or at least it runs at 1440p. So if you know, at that point, it's all about, what do you prefer to run it in? Do you prefer to run the highest resolution, or do you prefer a better frame rate?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's nothing I'll say on that. I really appreciate you, man, for coming through. It's always a nice conversation. You got me all jazzed up talking about Metal Gear, but that's another day, another show. in the history of that, and how we've been, and how it, from its early beginnings to its hard downfall, and Konami being the slave laborers that they are. True, you know, that. if they're not doing pachinko machines in Yu-Gi-Oh, which is like all their money makers.
It's pretty much a wrap.
But like I said, man, I would definitely love to have you on for another show. So many topics that I've been, you know, definitely to hop into, from, like I said, from Metal Gear to God to Lupin, which I didn't even know you were a fan of Lupin the Third at all.
Oh, I'm a super fan.
That's
man.
That's been my jam since freaking Adult Swim started. Was that second the Red Jacket series?
Yeah, that was the second series.
Man, so like I said, whatever I can get you, or your availability free. I know you got about 18 shows that you do with three black geeks. So
yeah, we got a few. We got quite a few. You know what? I'm mad they took it off Hulu, by the way.
What's that?
Lupin. Lupin the Third.
They did. I just seen that was expired. As far as I know, it's still on Crunchyroll.
Well, it's actually on Amazon.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. But this is where they messed up. It's on Amazon Prime, but it's only the English dub. I like the English dub, though. So
yeah, the English dub with Sonny and Richard and all of them is really good.
No. It's Tony Oliver and Tony Oliver and Richard.
Oh, okay.
Sonny Strait, he did the movies. Like, if you remember watching me and Sam's review for the movie, I showed him the three movies that Funimation released.
Which were?
It was Dead or Alive, Crisis in Tokyo, and Farewell to Nostradamus.
See, that's funny. I was just looking that up on Amazon. I was like, man, I didn't even realize these movies had even came out. I'm like, man, these are all like $25-$30 a piece. Because now, whoever owns the license for that, they're starting to release. They pissed me off with that, because they're releasing like the Blu-ray sets and like part one, part two. Like, mm-hmm. They'll do like part two, but like one part one. Like, why are we still doing that in 2020? Why are we still doing pieces?
Not Sony. Funimation did that with the movies on DVD. They did like a two volume DVD combo. It was like Cops and Capers or whatever.
Right.
So like the volume one was like five movies, and volume two was like another five movies.
Right. Because I remember grabbing one. It was like the final haul. Mm-hmm. that I found, and it was another one that was, like I said, a couple movies that I haven't seen in years, but I definitely need to go back and watch them. But like I said, now Lupin has become a little bit more, I'm not gonna say mainstream, it's still kind of a niche series here.
Oh, it's still extremely niche. Yeah. I mean, until the day we see that Lupin versus Detective Conan movie come out, you know.
Man, I was lucky to catch that at Otakon, and they premiered and showed that.
I went to the theater and caught it, and I made sure to go to the theater, because I actually bought one of those souvenir cups from the movie theater.
Right.
And what it is Conan dressed as Lupin. And it's like a little ornament that sits on the top of the cup.
Right. Didn't they like do a clothes swap, like vice versa? Like
he was dressed
as Conan. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to cop that movie again. I know it's on the net somewhere.
Yep. Cause I think they have like two versions of that movie. I know it's not the first. I know it wasn't just one idea. I think one was like a TV special, and then the other one was like a whole movie.
Right. Man, yeah. So like I said, just let me know whenever you. I guess I'll just let you know whenever.
Yeah, man. Just hit me up. Hit me up.
Like I said, I definitely appreciate it. Thank you guys for finally back for another episode of Around the Geek. I was able to get my man Sue on here. Thanks for listening. It's been like 165 Around the Geek. God knows what this title should be. You know, same system, different face, probably.
I like that.
Like I said, I definitely appreciate you for coming in. Real quick, for the people that don't know Three Black Geeks, even though I've been on there like 1,000 times, give them the information on that.
All right. So Google. Literally, Google Three Black Geeks, threeblackgeeks.com. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We are literally everywhere. Where else? Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Black Nerd Japan, BLK Nerd Japan, all one word. You can find CJ and D, like D the Black Geek. We're all on Twitter. Three Black Geeks on Twitter, Three Black Geeks on Instagram. We're all there. Literally, just type in our names, you'll find us.
Well, there you go. The Three Black Geeks themselves. but like I said, you know where to find us. We're on aroundthegeek.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher. Spotify. You know where our links are, it's on the website. I can't try to remember all of them. But you know where to find us. Like I said, thank you again for joining me on the show.
No problem, man.
Well, and I hope to catch you again.
Awesome.
And we're out.
Cool.